So far, so good?
So far, so good.
When you think, you do not create the all. You reach into the all to create whatever experience of the all that you choose. All of it is already there. You're not placing it there by thinking about it. Yet, by thinking about it, you are placing in your experience that part of the all about which you are thinking.
Did you follow that?
I think I did. Go slowly. Now go very slowly. I'm trying to keep up.
Your true being, which is who you really are, precedes everything. When you think about who you wish to now be, you are reaching into your true being, into your total self, and focusing on a part of your total self that you now wish to experience. Your total self is all of it. It is the happiness and the sadness.
Yes, yes, you've said this before. You said of me, you are the up and the down of it, the left and the right of it, the here and the there of it, the before and the after of it. You are the fast and the slow, the big and the small, the male and the female, and what you call the good and the bad. You are the all of it, and there is none of it that you are not. I've heard you say that to me before.
You are right. I have. Many times have I said this to you. And now you understand it better than you ever have before.
And so, does thinking affect being? No. Not in the largest sense. You are what you are, no matter what you think about it. Yet, can thinking create an immediately different experience of your being? Yes. What you think about, what you focus on, will be made manifest in your individual present reality. Thus, if you are being sad and you think positive, joyful thoughts, you will very easily think your way to being happy. You are simply moving from one part of yourself to another. Yet, there is a shortcut, and this is what we've been trying to get at here. This is what we've been talking about. You can move to any state of being you wish. That is, you can call forth any part of your true being at any moment, instantly, by simply knowing it to be so, and declaring it to be so.
In fact, you once said to me, what you know is what is so.
Yes, I did. And this is exactly what I meant by that. What you know of your true being is what will be so of your state of being right now. When you declare what you know, you make it so. Declarations are made most powerfully with I am statements. One of the most famous of these was a statement made by Jesus, I am the way and the life. The most sweeping such statement ever made was one made by me. I am that I am. You can make I am declarations too. In fact, you do so every day. I am sick and tired. I am up to my ears, and so forth. These are statements of being. When you make these statements of being consciously, rather than unconsciously, you live from intention. You live deliberately. Remember, I have suggested that you live
deliberately, harmoniously, beneficially.
Your whole life is a message. Did you know that? Every act is an act of self-definition. Every thought is a silent film on the movie screen of your mind. Every word is voicemail for God. Everything you think, say, and do sends a message about you.
Think of your I am declarations, therefore, as a sort of state of the union message. This is your state of the being message. You are making a statement about how it is with you. You are saying what is so.
Hey, wait a minute. I just thought of something. We're all one anyway, so it really is a state of the union message.
That's good. Very good.
Now, when you make a declaration, that is the short route to your state of being. Declarations are a calling forth of who you really are, or more accurately, of that portion of who you really are that you wish to experience right now. This is beingness being creative, rather than thought being creative. Beingness is the fastest method of creation. That is because what is right now. A true declaration of being is made without thinking about it. If you think about it, you will at best delay it, and at worst, deny it. Delay will occur simply because thinking takes time, and being takes no time at all. Denial could occur because thinking about what you choose to be often convinces you that you aren't that and can't ever become that.
If that's true, then the worst thing I can do is to think.
In a sense, that is correct. All spiritual masters are out of their minds. That is, they do not consciously think about what they are being. They simply are it. The moment you think about it, you can't be it. You can only delay being it or deny being it.
To use a very down-home illustration, you can only be in love when you are in love. You can't be in love if you're thinking about it. If someone who loves you asks, "Are you in love with me?" and you say, "I'm thinking about it," that'll probably not go over very well.
Excellent. You're understanding very well.
Now, if time is not critical, if it's not a matter of inches and seconds, and few things are, if it isn't important how long it takes before you are experiencing what you choose, such as being in love, then you can take all the time you want to think about it.
And thinking is a very powerful tool. Don't get me wrong. It is one of the three tools of creation.
Thought, word, and deed.
Precisely. Yet today, I've given you another method by which you can experience life. This is not a tool of creation. This is a new understanding of creation. That it is not a process by which things occur, but by which you become aware of what already has occurred. An awareness of what is, always was, and always will be, world without end.
Do you understand?
I am beginning to, yes. I am beginning to see the whole cosmology, the whole construction.
Good. I know this has not been simple, or rather, it has been simple, but it has not been easy. Just remember this. Being is instant. Compared to that, your thought is very slow. As fast as thought is, it is very slow compared to being.
Let's use your very human example of being in love. Remember a time when you fell in love? There was a moment, a magical split second, when you first felt that love. It may have hit you, as you are fond of saying, like a ton of bricks. Suddenly, it came over you. You looked at that person across the room, across the dining table, across the front seat of the car, and all at once, you knew that you loved them. It was sudden. It was instant. It was not something that you had to think about. It just happened. You may have thought about it later. You may even have thought about it beforehand. I wonder what it would be like to be in love with that person. But in that moment, when you first felt it, first knew it in your heart, it just swept over you. It happened much too fast for you to have thought it there. You simply found yourself there, being in love. You can be in love before you've even thought about it.
Boy, don't I know that.
It's the same with gratitude. When you feel gratitude, or no one has to tell you it's time to feel gratitude, you simply quite spontaneously feel grateful. You find yourself being grateful before you even think about it. Gratefulness is a state of being. There is no word like lovefulness in your language, but there should be.
You're a poet, you know that?
So I've been told.
Okay, so I'm clear that being is faster than thinking. But I still don't see why being grateful for something brings it to you faster than... Wait a minute. Even as I'm saying this, I think I'm getting the answer. You said before that gratitude is a state of being which announces my clarity, that I already have what I think I need. In other words, if I'm thanking God for something rather than asking God for something, I must know that it's already in place.
Exactly.
That is why the seventh step is thank God.
Exactly.
Because when you thank God, you're being aware that all good things in life have already come to you, that everything you need, the right and perfect people, places, and events to express and experience and evolve as you've chosen, has already been put in place for you.
Even before you ask, I will have answered. Yes, that's it.
Then maybe thanking God should be the first thing you do, not the last.
That could be very powerful. And you have just uncovered a great secret. The wonder of the seven steps to God is that they may be turned around. They can be reversed.
If you are thanking God, You are helping God to help you.
If you are helping God to help you, you are using God.
If you are using God, you are embracing God in your life.
If you are embracing God, you are loving God.
If you are loving God, you are trusting God.
And if you are trusting God, you are knowing God for sure.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
You now know how to create a friendship with God. A true friendship. A real friendship. A practical, working friendship.
Great. Can I begin using it right away? And don't say you can, but you may not.
What?
A third grade teacher of mine once always corrected our grammar. We would raise our hand, you know, and say, "Sister, can I go to the bathroom?" And she would always say, "You can, but you may not."
Ah, yes, I remember her.
Can you ever forget?
I can, but I may not.
Bada boom, cymbal crash, please.
Thank you, thank you, thank you very much.
But seriously, folks, I'd like to begin using this friendship. Really, you said that you would help me understand how to practicalize, how to make functional the wisdom in conversations with God, how to use it in our daily lives.
Well, that's what a friendship with God is for. It's for helping you to remember these things. It's for making your day-to-day life easier, your moment-to-moment experience more of an expression of who you really are. This is your greatest desire, and I have established a perfect system whereby all of your desires may be realized. They are being realized now. In this very moment, the only difference between you and me is that I know this. In the moment of your total knowing, which moment could come upon you at any time, you too will feel as I do always, totally joyful, loving, accepting, blessing, and grateful. These are the five attitudes of God, and I promised you that before our dialogue was over, I would show you how the application of these attitudes in your life now can and will bring you to godliness.
You did make that promise long ago in Book 1 of the Conversations with God trilogy, and I think it's about time you kept it.
And you promised to tell us about your life, and especially your experiences since the release of those Conversations with God books. Laugh at yourself. Someone once said, "You grow up the day that you have a good laugh at yourself." Don't take yourself so seriously. Give yourself a little slack. And while you're at it, give each other a little, too. You want to know about the five attitudes of God? Take a look at the first one.
Totally joyful.
That is the first attitude. Did you notice that? I listed that first.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying that it comes before anything else. It is what makes everything possible. Without joy, there is nothing. I'm saying that unless you get a little humor in your life, none of it is going to make any sense. I'm saying that laughter is the best medicine. I'm saying that joy is good for the soul.
I'll go further than that. Joy is the soul. The soul is that which you would call joy. Pure joy, endless joy, unadulterated, unlimited, unrestricted joy. That is the nature of the soul.
A smile is a window to your soul. Laughter is the door.
Oh, wow.
Wow, indeed.
Why is the soul so happy? People aren't that happy. I mean, the people whose souls these are don't seem all that happy, so what's going on here?
That's a wonderful question. If the soul is so joyous, why aren't you? That's a perfectly wonderful question. The answer lies in your mind. You must be of a mind to be joyful if you are to release the joy that is in your heart.
I thought the joy was in your soul.
Your heart is the corridor between your soul and your mind. The joy in your soul must move through your heart. Otherwise, it will not even enter your mind. Feelings are the language of the soul. They will back up in your heart if you have a closed mind. That is why when you are feeling very, very sad, you say that your heart is breaking. And that is why when you are feeling very, very happy, you say that your heart is bursting.
Open your mind. Allow your feelings to be expressed, to be pushed out. And your heart will neither break nor burst, but be a free-flowing channel of the life energy in your soul.
But if the soul is joy, how could it ever be sad?
Joy is life expressing. The free flow of life energy is what you call joy. The essence of life is oneness, unity with all that is. This is what life is, unity expressing. The feeling of unity is the feeling that you call love. Therefore, in your language, it is said that the essence of life is love. Joy, then, is love expressing freely.